Hi, I'm Erica Farber, President and CEO of the REB, and welcome to Radio on Main Street, the podcast all about radio. In April, we attended the annual NAB show in Las Vegas, and during that five-day period, we had the opportunity to sit down and talk with broadcast executives and thought leaders about their focus and plans for the year. Let me once again thank Enco Systems and Bennstown for allowing us to record Radio on Main Street live in their exhibit booth every day of the NAB. In our final episode of this continuing series, we hear the conversation I had with Mike McVeigh, president of McVeigh Media. Founded in 1984 as a programming consultancy, today the company is focused on radio, network and syndication, coaching talent, working with podcasters, and as Mike puts it, marketing for things that color outside the lines. Mike, thank you so much for stopping by Radio on Main Street on the floor of the NAB convention, and it is buzzing.
Yeah, it has been a really good conference. And what's exciting to me is there's so many people, 60,000 folks, which is up from last year.
Yes.
So while we're not at pre-pandemic levels yet, we're sure on the way to getting there.
Why do you think it's important to come to conferences?
With so many levels to that. First would be the networking, the fact that regardless of what part of the business you're in, you're going to meet people in similar situations who can share their challenges, problems, issues, successes with you and learn from that. The learning moments itself around the different sessions are good. Seeing all the equipment, seeing what's new is always good. And then just the recognition for people who have been successful, who have accomplished a lot in our business.
Mm-hmm. I can't imagine this, but there may be a few people who are listening to this podcast that may not be familiar with McVeigh Media.
Sure.
I will say that Mike McVeigh is known for probably being, if not the best, one of the best dressed people in the broadcasting industry.
Thank you.
Always looking sharp. But share a little bit about McVeigh Media and the kind of work that you do.
Sure, and it's evolved a lot since 1984, which is when I started. When I first started, it was me only and my wife doing the books. And as time went on, consolidation was happening. We brought in experts from other formats who could excel at guiding and working with broadcasters as they evolved their businesses, as audiences changed. As FM became more of a strength, it's hard to believe that in 1984, there were still music stations on AM moving to FM, and things changed rapidly. And during that time, our business evolved dramatically. It went from being a programming-only business to one that focused on research, sales, digital, and today, you know, it is five different things: radio, network and syndication, coaching talent, working with podcasters, and then marketing for, as I like to say, things that color outside the line. Mm-hmm. I work with an experiential company. I work with, and they're a global company out of the United Kingdom. I work with a digital company out of Switzerland. Bennstown is a client of mine that does imaging and production. You know, the Edelman Financial Engines program was a client of mine until this past year. Just a lot of different things. If it's around media and marketing, we have something to offer in those regards.
And your background, you've programmed multiple radio stations, also a group PD, but you've certain some legendary call letters.
Hey, thank you. Well, I'm very lucky. I mean, I've been blessed by friends who hired me to work at those legendary call letters.
Yeah. And that's what allowed you to stay in those jobs, not. Oh, boy.
But also, I owned some small record radio stations. And in your previous life, you were my national rep. And your business worked for mine and generated real radio for us. So I've seen a lot.
And you've touched a lot.
Thank you.
You know, at the REB, the majority of our connection is with the sales and marketing teams at the local radio stations. And
we both came from the days where there was definitely a wall between programming and sales, and now everyone's in sales.
Right.
How has that changed the dynamics of what you do?
I think it's much more positive. I mean, there are still some throwbacks who have legacy experience that look at sales like they're trying to ruin the product somehow. But, you know, I talk to talent continually and programmers and say, you should do ride-alongs with your salespeople. You should get to know them and understand what they do. You need to be really good at doing live commercials. You have to figure out how to tell a story in a limited period of time to sell that individual's product. And often when I visit radio stations today, the sellers are remote and they will bring them in for a meeting, but they don't get together as often as they used to. I always start by saying, what do we sell? And if it's a cluster of stations that has been well-trained, they have the right answer. If it's not been that well-trained or focused, they'll say, well, we sell airtime. We sell radio. and you know, and of course, the answer is we sell cars and air conditioners and meals and food and restaurants and on.
Solutions,
exactly. And so it's more important today that programming understands we're not selling spots. You know, we're creating a platform to help businesses and communities.
Well, and you also use such an important word, platforms. You know, it used to be we were on a single platform, which was a radio as a device, and now that device barely exists, and yet we're on multi-platforms.
Yeah, I mean, people hear the radio on their phones. They hear the radio on their computers. They hear it on podcasts, on their smart speakers. The radio is heard a lot of different places. And so, yes, there is a instrument that's called radio, but what we do calling it radio is greater than just where you hear it. It's what we are. It's what we do.
As we've been talking on the Radio on Main Street podcast all week, is here we are celebrating at the NAB 100 years of innovation in marketing and broadcasting, which is an incredible legacy. But if we're thinking about innovation, is there a specific innovation or project or initiative going on at McVeigh Media that you can share with us?
I don't know that there's one specific thing. I mean, we've been very involved. As you mentioned, I've been a group programmer, and so I worked at Cumulus Westwood One when both Google and Amazon rolled out their smart speakers. And so we embraced it very quickly. I ran promos on all 450 stations telling people to say, hey, Google, or ask for Alexa to give a station.
Right.
And there was some conversation internally on why are we giving all this free advertising? But the more places we can let people hear the radio, the better radio will be. And so in that focus, it was bringing radio back into the home. Because to your point, not a lot of people have a radio anymore. They have it in their car, but there might be one radio in a house, maybe two, not a lot. And so the smart speaker brought it back in. The big thing now that everyone's talking about is AI, artificial intelligence, and ChatGPT, and those businesses that are creating, for lack of a better word, artificial air talent.
Right.
And so...
What do you feel about that?
Well, you know, air talent are a little bit freaked out by it. I mean, there are villagers at the gates with their torches, you know, all upset about it. But the reality of it is, if it helps radio be better connected to a community, all the better. And the reason I say it that way is, I can drive across America and listen to stations that have nothing 7 p.m. to midnight or overnight and some hours in the weekend. And I mean nothing. They're not running syndication. They don't have a voice tracker. And so if AI enables them...
Well, and actually, I'm going to interrupt for a minute.
The only
thing that identifies that station where it is is the commercials.
Right.
Or are the commercials, excuse me.
No, you're absolutely right. And so if that's all there's going to be, you know... that's part of the surrender that we have to stop. You know, when the people say, well, you know, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday is all we care about, And we know that's prime. That's what advertisers want. But fortunately, listeners listen in a lot of different hours than that.
Absolutely.
And so if I tune into a radio station at night and I hear nothing, it connects that station to the community, and I hear some music and a whole lot of commercials, there's no value there. Mm-hmm. There's no benefit there. And so I'm hopeful that artificial intelligence will be used to solve for that. Now, it would be wrong of me to say that there won't be those who use it for evil. We can expect that there will be some people who will do that. And in other things, I mean, podcasting, you know, I've been hired by very big brands to help them develop branded podcasts because they see that as another way to sell their products.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that's nobody's better than radio people than taking advantage of audio. Mm-hmm. So it's an area where we all have to be focused on as well.
There's been a lot of discussion here and in recent weeks, certainly, about brand building. And we hear it from the advertiser side. But it is equally important for our radio brands to focus in on what is their mission and how are they branding the product. And as we talk about multi-platforms, you know, you bring up Alexa, if a station, for instance, is Kiss, they can't just say listen to Kiss,
right,
because they're not necessarily going to get the Kiss that they listen to.
Right.
So what advice do you have thinking about stations and how they're branding their stations? What should we be doing?
Yeah, and to your point, I would be Los Angeles's KISS 102.7 or Cleveland's KISS 96.5, so that, again, you're connecting to a community, which is a benefit for why I would listen to your station.
Right.
And the branding needs to be everywhere. Mm-hmm. It needs to be on the air and on your websites and on your social media and anywhere that station might have a listener. It needs to be branded. It needs to be consistent.
Mm-hmm.
One of the branded podcasts I'm working for recently asked that I go through and look at the affiliates, 80 affiliates, and I just said, hey, no rush, but would you have time to look at our affiliates and see if they're promoting us on their websites? You can't find even a station schedule on many websites. It is a scavenger hunt to find out who's on the morning show. And so all of those things need to be tied together. And you would think, given that we run commercials for Progressive Insurance, that we run commercials for Procter & Gamble products, that McDonald's is on stations, that there's branding thought out there on our advertiser side.
Absolutely.
Why wouldn't we learn from that?
I'm going to share a quick story. I'm not going to say the market or who, but recently I needed to get a hold of someone at a station. And it was a top 20 market, and I went online to get a phone number. I was traveling. And I found the phone number, and when I dialed the phone number, it was disconnected.
Wow.
Wow. Wow is right. But that's a whole other story. You know, Mike, obviously, as sellers, we're trying to get our arms around our numbers, if you will, our listeners. And with being device agnostic, it's an accumulation of all of these different listeners into one place. What are some of the tools that you are using, that you look at to determine how you get your arms around a station's audience?
Yeah, and so to your point, there's not one aggregated number yet. I know that Nielsen won, and what they're talking about is figuring out how to aggregate that number. I'm pretty sure, and I haven't spoken to anyone, but I'm sure they're starting to realize their eyes might be bigger than their stomach, as my mother used to say when,
right,
I would put too much food on my plate, because, you know, not everybody's digital platforms speak to each other, and so getting that information could be somewhat difficult. But if you are able to say, okay, here's our cume on our radio station, here are how many visitors we have on our website, here are the downloads on our podcast, you can add those numbers together. But the problem with that is those are duplicated numbers. It's unrealistic to not believe that someone who listens over the air might also listen to your stream and listen to a podcast. And so I think the way to sell that is that you have to show those different platforms and break it out and say, you know, in an overall number, we can reach this many people. Mm-hmm. And look at what digital does. I mean, digital so brilliantly sells circulation, right? And it is clearly duplicated, but they'll sit down and say, you know, we have 1.7 million people, and you can buy it for a penny a person.
No, but that's such a great point that sometimes we let them get away with it.
Right.
And we need to be focused to make sure that the advertiser understands the numbers that they're being presented, and that's where being that having that relationship and being that consultant helps.
Yeah, totally. And you know, if it is about sales, I think the objective or the best thing you can do is stay in touch with that advertiser, particularly local, and say, how many cars did we move for you this month?
Right.
What did we help you sell? Because that does two things. One, it lets you know if you're working or if the message needs adjusted. But it also makes that advertiser remember that you helped them sell four cars this month.
Yes.
Or whatever the number is.
And at the same time, going into that campaign, we need to understand the expectations and make sure that those expectations are realistic.
Exactly. We've all seen that. Well, I spent $150 and didn't see anything.
Right. And I expected to move 50 cars in 3 hours, you
exactly.
know.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly right.
That's funny. We continue to hear from our members about disruption, and it's no secret every industry has been disrupted.
Yeah. Right.
And it will continue. Can you share some of the key challenges that you're facing when you're working with customers and how you approach the process and how the thought process has actually changed?
The theory of relativity that every action has an equal and opposite reaction is often ignored in our business. And so there are folks that will view radio almost as if it's television. I'm going to say music radio, almost as if it's television, and believe that we could have this show here and then alter it and do this here and do that there. And that is a disruption that, you know, makes it so that the audience can't figure out when they should listen to hear something. And so those are self-inflicted disruptions. But if you look at disruptors, you know, coming from somewhere outside of radio, meaning there's a huge podcast and, you know, an air talent has been fired on a radio station. Now they're doing a daily podcast. That can be a disruptor because you're going to lose an audience or some members of your audience. And so that comes back to marketing, that you have to market what is new to the audience so that there is a sense of curiosity that brings people to your radio station.
You bring up another great point, and that is, you know, when you think about the brand or the talent, and the talent has their own social media, the talent has their own Facebook page, Instagram, and yet the talent's primary amplification is coming from that broadcast facility.
Right.
And so who owns what, and how do you sort of control the message, in a sense, as that broadcast company?
It depends on how big the talent is.
Yeah. That's a good point, yeah.
If you have a talent that's generating a lot of revenue and part of the deal in hiring them was that they're a brand and they're going to own their brand, then it's their brand and they're an independent contractor and you're leasing the brand.
Mm-hmm.
If it's someone who is newer and they're starting out, I would not want them to own their brand at that point. I would want them to be part of the station's brand because it's very important that we promote and market the station's brand. And so to me, where the scale of justice shifts is, are we benefiting more from that talent's brand than the talent is benefiting from our brand? And so
it's a great question.
If we're benefiting more by having Ryan Seacrest on our station, then it's Ryan Seacrest's brand, and we're happy to have him. And please, Ryan, tell people that you're on our station. If somebody is new and it's Joe Fabitz, or Jill Fabeets, and the Joe and Jill show is new and they're just growing, I would want them to be promoting and marketing our brand, and we'll market them.
Right. That's such a great point. So what's next for McVeigh Media?
Well, I'm going to have a flight later today. I try not to look too far down the road. No, I'm enjoying what I'm doing. I'm excited about things. The digital projects that we're working on, like the company I mentioned out of Switzerland, is pretty exciting. Creating experiences, seeing new research. One of the things I've been very fired up about is seeing research that young people, who, by the way, will listen to radio, if we, A, have fewer commercials, and B, if we are engaged in what they're engaged in. And what they're engaged in is more philanthropic. They do care about the world. They're in favor of electric cars. They don't want anything that's going to destroy our planet for the next 10 generations.
Right.
And so if you can have a youthful station and focus on those things they care about, they will listen and they'll become engaged in what you want. You know, we're always faced with, oh, well, first there were millennials and they didn't care about anything. Now there's Gen Z. They're so hard to get to work. You have to find the things they care about.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone engages with what they care about. Because someone doesn't engage with what we care about doesn't mean that they're not engageable. It means we're not engaging them in anything that's of interest to them. And so I'm just very, that's next for me. I'm very curious in how do we get, you know, 20-year-olds back? And I think it's talking to a lot of 20-year-olds and having them talk to other 20-year-olds.
Mm-hmm. Another great point.
Yeah, thank you.
What advice do you have for salespeople and those that represent us to, or that are the leads to bring in the revenue?
Focus fully on selling my product, my service, making money for my business.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means bringing me all of those platforms we talked about. If you walk in the door and you say to me, I want to show you how we can create a great 30-second story that's going to create long-term customers for you. And we're going to utilize digital to get to the people that live within 25 miles of your home to buy cars from you. And we're going to come out and be on site at your business and do a promotion or event that will create excitement for your sellers that works not only to incentivize them, but incentivize potential buyers. And if you can say, and we're also going to give you a branded podcast. How would you like to once a month have 20 minutes where we interview you about autos? I think we need to be ad agencies, for lack of a better word, and use every tool we have available to us to sell that person's cars.
Mm-hmm.
If you do that for me, then I'm going to stay connected to you.
Great advice. So, Mike, you have touched so many companies, stations, individuals in the business, but now you're in charge of the whole industry. Right now, Mike McVeigh is our leader. What is one thing that you believe, if we could all focus on as an industry, that would help and ensure the relevancy of what we do in radio?
If everybody took their biggest rated station in a market and said, we're going to run less commercial inventory and charge more for it, if we could convince the leaders who have that decision-making power to have the stomach for it, requires some stomach, but we would see the lemmings then run off the cliff in favor of it.
Mm-hmm.
And when some companies have a strategy of, if it's a $100,000 buy, we'll give you as many commercials as we have to get all of that $100,000 buy, because part of their strategy is not just getting the buy, but take the money off the table, cut the supply line for their competitors. When you have that strategy at work, that hurts financially. But a few years back, in Seattle, iHeart and then Entercom, now Odyssey, had several stations in their clusters that they lowered to 4 minutes an hour. Started with the Entercom guys, iHeart responded to it. I was a group programmer at that other company, and I had our researcher look at that market And what we saw was AQH go up. And then we went and looked at all 50 markets, and it was the only market where AQH went up in the top 50, year over year, AQH raised in the top 50 as a market. And I was just unable to convince the company I worked for to take a station in each market and say, we'll lower the spot load and do that. Mm-hmm. Commercials are not bad. I'm not saying they're bad.
I understand.
We ruin the listener environment and the advertiser environment when we put somebody's commercial in the middle of 12 messages.
I moderated a session earlier this week, and Pierre Bouvard, who's such a great spokesperson and yes. passionate about this business, I asked him a very similar question, you know, if we could do one thing, what would it be? And he very quickly answered that we stop saying commercial-free hour. He said, you can say music sweep, he said, but here we are saying commercials are bad. And he was really imploring the people in the room, please do not do that anymore because it's not helping.
I don't know how many people do it anymore, to be honest. It was very big a couple years ago, and he may have research where mine would be anecdotal that it's still out there. But I had asked people to stop it a while ago
uh-huh.
because not only was it sending a bad message that commercials are bad, it's not credible. You can't say commercial-free when you're up against Spotify that might play 260s in an hour
yes.
of the free stream.
Right.
And so it just wasn't credible.
Right.
And so, I would agree. But I think the bigger thing, in my opinion, is to create better listening environments.
Mm-hmm. Is there one trend, Mike, or something you're thinking about on the future that you're most focused on?
I wouldn't say there's any one trend. My biggest passion right now is working with talent
mm-hmm.
at all levels, the highest level and even smaller markets.
Right.
I have some talent in smaller markets that are amazingly connected to their community. And that's why I'm trying to get all talent to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm writing an article for one of the trade publications that's going to run in about 2 weeks. It's called Man versus Machine or Human versus Machine. And it's about, you know, Radio GPT and Chat GPT. And how everybody's freaked out about it. Again, I will talk about the good aspects of it. But what it also means is talent need to be observational and they need to be connected to a community. I have a morning show in Fort Wayne, Indiana, that will talk about, you know, I've been driving to work the same way for 10 years. The bridge over I-480 has been under construction for 10 years. Right?
Right.
That's something that AI is not going to get. And yet every listener
will get it.
Will get it.
Yeah.
And when that station did that, somebody from the road crew that had been working on the bridge called in and they put him on the air and the guy was laughing about it. And he said, yeah, my son graduated high school and now works with me on the crew during the time that we've been working on this.
Oh, God.
And those are the things that I'm really enjoying is that localization or people using their platforms for big topics.
Right.
I've done some work over the years with Stephen A. Smith, who's an amazing talent on ESPN. He has a podcast out on Cadence 13. And, you know, Stephen's podcast is not sports like he would normally do. It's about whatever's in the news at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means social topics, things that are happening, school shootings, an NBA player with a gun. He is a brilliant storyteller who, despite the image of him using big words, can succinctly explain why something's wrong in a matter of moments. And so I'll see or hear something like that and use it as a learning tool for other talent.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I'm enjoying the most.
Mm-hmm.
There's not been a lot of changes about how we build clocks,
right?
How we change what songs will play where, and on talk stations where I have local talk talent, I'm really pushing them hard to not say what Sean Hannity is saying, not say what Glenn Beck is saying or Doug Steffen is saying, but to talk about what's happening in their community. You know, those network shows have that. That's great. Tell me why there was nearly a fist fight at the City Hall meeting last night.
Yes.
Those are the things that will make people want to tune in daily to a station.
Mm-hmm. So before I let you go,
yeah,
you may be aware that at the REB, we have a consistent campaign. And if you would just complete this sentence, radio matters because?
It's free.
And radio works because?
It's everywhere.
You cannot get more succinct than that. Mike, thank you so much for stopping by Radio on Main Street. We so appreciate you making time for us and your busy schedule.
Thank you. I enjoy it as always.
And as you're going home, I hope you get home safe.
Knock on wood.
It's more important than ever before that programmers understand we're not selling spots, but are creating a platform to help businesses and communities. Mike also shared his thoughts on some new research he's excited about that says young people will listen to radio if we run fewer commercials and are engaged in what they're engaged with. They care about the world. They're in favor of electric cars. They don't want anything that is going to destroy our planet for the next 10 generations. If we can focus on the things this audience cares about, they'll listen and become engaged.
If you'd like to learn more about radio and its many benefits, we invite you to visit us at rab.com, or you can email us directly at askrab@rab.com. Until next time, it's Radio on Main Street.